Yes, time to shine on this Friday morning. We've reached the end of another week as we launch into another weekend of sport that includes the Everest horse racing this weekend, of course. Welcome to Breakfast with Vossie on 1170 SEN in Sydney, the SEN track stations on the Central Coast, the Illawarra, through 90.3 FM in Griffith, and to those listening right across the country on the SEN app. Hope you're okay. We have had a bit of weather. Wild storms is reported in the news there. Hailstones in different parts of Sydney. It was widespread across the eastern seaboard. Let us know how you bed last night. The McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170. And you can text 0457 736 736. We're here for Bryden's Lawyers, the workers' compensation experts, protecting your future. You can call Bryden's Lawyers on 1800 848 848. Their website is brydens.com.au. And we're here for 4D Doors, Garage Doors Redefined. A great range of product. They are the experts, and the website is 4ddoors.com.au. And thank you to everyone who is part of our podcast family. And a reminder, you can download our weekend edition of Breakfast with Vossie tomorrow morning. Just search for Breakfast with Vossie on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcast platform, and subscribe so you don't miss a thing. We always put a range of podcasts up through the course of the morning and the full show to individual interviews. All righty, what is making news this morning? Well, it is sad news that we start the program with. It was, in fact, right on 9 o'clock that I first got word of the passing of Norm Provan, St George Dragons rugby league and Australian sport legend, aged 89. He played 256 games for the St George Dragons, played in 10 of the 11 premierships between 56 and 66, four of them as captain coach in an Australian rugby league record, will never be beaten. He featured in 18 tests for Australia, 20 games for New South Wales. He was finally added to the New South, or rather the NRL Immortals in 2018, but that call had been going for a long, long time. He's also immortalised, of course, in bronze as part of the NRL Grand Final Trophy alongside his great mate Arthur Summons, from a photograph captured at the SCG Mud, 1963 Grand Final. How good that we have that image portrayed on the trophy. Here's just a little of Norm Provan speaking a few years ago about his mate, Arthur Summons, the background to that famous photograph and the bond the two shared.
Arthur Summons, of course, was always a stout enemy on the field. Off the field, we were good friends. And after that game, well, the captains usually swap jumpers, and I stripped off my jumper to give to Arthur, and Arthur didn't want to, he wanted to keep his. So that's how that photograph shows me with no jumper on, just my shoulder pads, and Arthur still got his on. And that's when Mr. O'Grady took the photograph. And he's been there all the time. Any of those functions, he's never ever once said anything about losing. You know, he's been a great companion.
A great companion. What a rivalry, but what respect. And here is a little more of Norm Provan, this time alongside Arthur Summons, in conversation a few years ago, with that classic sense of humour shining through, as it always did.
You remember the 1963 Grand Final on the Sydney Cricket Ground?
No more than any other.
No, you won that many years.
Yeah, that was courtesy of Fox League. The two of them, look, feel so lucky to have seen the two going back at big events for the rugby league. I mean, imagine how the Sharks players are feeling today too, that had Norm Provan there as well on stage. There's just so many moments that you can draw on that this fella, I mean, great player, just amazing record, but greatness went with him anywhere that he turned up. You know, you felt it. He had an aura. You were there near this man whenever he was put on stage or in any sort of environment, but always the same Norm Proven. Jeff Armstrong, author of The Spirit of the Red V, who we've had on this program before, not so long ago, just a few weeks ago, in fact, was on Matt White's show yesterday after the news came through. Here's a little of what Jeff had to say.
I think the fact that Norm Proven was able to... He actually captain coached the side from 62 to 65, and then Ian Walsh captain coached the side in 66. But for Norm Proven to win those four competitions, having followed up what Ken Carney had done, is an amazing achievement. And the fact is, no one else can do it. I mean, we're in a situation now where if a team wins two comps in a row, you know, Trent Robertson, when he won two comps at the Roosters, he was a genius. And Norm Proven won four following on from Ken Carney. It's just a phenomenal achievement. I can't remember anyone saying a bad word about him as a player or as a rugby league statesman. And that's the thing about Norm. Every other footballer seems to have been flawed in some way, but not Norm. He carried himself so brilliantly for so long, and the game is so much better for everything that Norm Proven contributed to it.
Such great words from Jeff Armstrong yesterday. Some of Norm Proven's rugby league life. After 7 o'clock, leading rugby league historian David Middleton will be coming on the program. We will crunch the numbers. We'll talk numbers about Norm Proven's career, a tribute to Norm. And happy to share your memories of Norm Proven. Look, it can be all sorts of things. If you've had any, if you were lucky enough to meet Norm, it may be that you shopped at his electrical store. Remember that? Norm Proven? I mean, there was this icon. There was this giant in the retail sector as well, as player, as coach, and the words that Jeff Armstrong used there, statesman. He really was a rugby league statesman, Norm Proven. We pay tribute to him this morning. Our McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170. And you can text 0457 736 736. Now, other rugby league news. Josh Hodgson could be on his way to the West Tigers next season. Hodgson has a year left to run at the Raiders, but wants a longer deal, which Canberra says it can't offer. They've got Tom Starling waiting in the wings. The Raiders have given him permission to move to the Tigers next year if a deal can be struck between the two clubs for an early release. And that's all to do with how much money, if any, Canberra would contribute to the contract for the Tigers to take Hodgson off the Raiders' hands. The Telegraph reporting Raiders coach Ricky Stewart and Tigers coach Michael Maguire have spoken in depth about Hodgson's possible move to Concord. If you're a Tigers or Raiders fan, let me know what you think. If you're a Raiders fan, losing Josh Hodgson, is it time to go your separate ways? And for the Tigers, is that one area you believe will shore up and make the side better and a better frame to be a contender? Let me know. 1300 01 1170. Text 0457 736 736. Peter Bedell and Brent Reed reporting in the Telegraph that the Rabbitohs inserted an anti-poaching clause in Wayne Bennett's contract, precluding the supercoach poaching South's employees, including players, beyond the expiry of his contract on November 1. The news comes amid revelations that Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell could be on the Dolphins' hit list as a package deal. Bennett insists he has no interest in decimating the Rabbitohs club, but player agents are reported to be bombarding the Dolphins coach in waiting with options. Now, that's fine to have that in the clause to say Wayne Bennett's not allowed to poach. But what if Latrell Mitchell and Cody Walker want to play there? What if they say, no, we want to go there. We want the challenge. We want to be part of the new club. What would you possibly do? How could South stand in those players' way if they're coming off contract? Of course, I don't know how that works, to be honest. So he can't openly talk with them. But it's not to say that players are working it out. There's a new club. They're cashed up. They need players. It's that simple. Nice place to live. 2023 onwards. How would you stop that? You tell me. 1300 01 1170. Cameron Munster appears to be the number one target, with Wayne Bennett declaring their origin bond can be a winning formula at the new franchise. That could be Wayne Bennett head on with the Melbourne Storm, who are pretty keen for no club to get their fingers anywhere near Cameron Munster. Meanwhile, the Telegraph reporting that Cameron Seraldo is one of the coaches in the sights of the Dolphins to work alongside Wayne Bennett. Under the deal, he would take over from Bennett once the super coach retires. That's a fair way down the track, though. I mean, it could be 3 years. That's a long apprenticeship if you've been, like in the case of Cameron Serrato, you've already been the apprenticeship. You had that little taste of head coaching position as a caretaker coach. But, man, by the time, that's very Craig Bellamy-esque. I mean, Craig Bellamy served a very long apprenticeship before he finally got a crack at Melbourne. So Cameron Serrato, if that was really to unfold, he could be waiting until 2026 to be a first grade coach. That's a long time. That's a long apprenticeship. There's a few components to it. Any move north would hinge on Ivan Cleary's plans for the future. He has 2 years left on his Penrith contract, and the Telegraph says that having climbed Rugby League's Premiership Mountain, Ivan may decide to pull up stumps at the end of 2023. There we go. Tyrone May has shut down his Instagram account after that post he published following the NRL Grand Final. The Telegraph reporting that the NRL is expected to hand down their findings today into the Panthers, including their investigation into May's post. Look, the issue here, and I had my say the morning after that post appeared. It's got a little bit to do about accountability and remorse over the crimes, and they were crimes that Tyrone May committed, pleaded guilty to, and came within an ace of being sent to prison for, according to the magistrate that handed down the verdict. Deleting the account will mean diddly squat, as far as I'm concerned, if I'm investigating what's going on and what has happened. Cricket. Now, what a game last night. Now, we did warn you there would be rain, there would be weather down in Tasmania, but last night the Sydney Sixers won with just balls to spare against the Melbourne Stars. The game got reduced to 11 overs. The play didn't get away until 9 o'clock, thanks to that weather. Alyssa Healy, an absolute star, smashed 57 off 27 deliveries. The Sixers reaching their target of 100 with four balls to spare. Tomorrow, the Renegades take on the Hurricanes at 3:40, and then the Sydney Thunder, the defending champions, do battle with the Strikers in the night game. We learned yesterday, it only came to light of something that happened the previous week. Will Pekulski battling concussion almost a week after being hit in the head again by a cricket ball. The news emerged yesterday, and it's the 10th time he's been concussed in his short career. It's again triggered concerns about his long-term health and future in the game. He'd been earmarked as David Warner's opening partner for the Ashes. Well, it has to be a technical flaw, doesn't it? I'm not the cricket expert here. But a batsman to have so many concussions, Will Pekulski, we do wish him well. In the NBA, what about this story? The Charlotte Hornets have broken the record for suffering the biggest defeat ever seen in the NBA. The Michael Jordan-owned team lost by 68 points in their final preseason game in North Carolina yesterday against the Dallas Mavericks. The final score, 127-59. That is a shellacking. Now, briefly away from sport, at 17 after 6, a big supercell of storms have wreaked havoc across the New South Wales coast, bringing large hail, heavy rain, damaging winds, lightning. In fact, the Bureau recorded 32,000 lightning strikes yesterday. You may have also seen the footage last night of shoppers being evacuated from the Westfield Mount Druitt complex after parts of the roof collapsed from the weight of the rain. If you have any stories to share about the storm, you can text me, 0457 736 736. Travel from Sydney to regional areas will still be banned from Monday, even though New South Wales will reach the 80% vaccination threshold over the weekend. The government has made the decision to delay regional travel for at least a week because some areas of the state are lagging behind in the vaccination rate. I do worry about people getting out of town this weekend, I must say. Those of you who live in regional areas, I've got a feeling you're going to note a few more people in and around your town. One of the most powerful businessmen in Australian and New Zealand history, Ron Brearley, was yesterday sentenced to a maximum 14 months jail after pleading guilty to possessing tens of thousands of child sex abuse images. He was stripped of his knighthood in 2019 after police discovered the images in his possession. The 84-year-old will be eligible for parole in May 2022. Found this one interesting. Coldplay's next tour will partly be powered by a dance floor that generates electricity when fans jump up and down. They will also plant a tree for every ticket sold. It's part of a 12-point plan to cut their carbon footprint. Are they flying overseas? I'm just not sure where the tour is, but a little bit confused by all of that. Coldplay, thank you for saving the world. This is 2 years after the band announced that they wouldn't tour until they could do so in a more sustainable way. That sounds a little bit like it. There's a bit of malarkey there, but there you go. We wish them well. Good intentions, but absolutely impossible if they're going to tour overseas. A Sydney primary school has asked parents to make sure their children don't watch the popular Netflix series Squid Game because students are mimicking the games in the playground. Similar warnings have been issued by schools in Perth, the United States, Britain, Asia, Europe. The show involves contestants playing life or death versions of playground games. They really are life or death. I can't do spoiler alert on the program, but it's pretty dramatic. And this is our left field story of the morning. In fact, all hail Turkey. On this story, a 24-year-old Turkish woman who stands at just over 7 feet has been confirmed as the world's tallest living woman by Guinness World Records. Her name is Remeza Gygi. Her phenomenal height is due to a condition called Weaver syndrome, which caused accelerated growth. It was a number of years ago, 6 years ago, she was named as the tallest teenager in the world. And Guinness Book of Records obviously had her still in their phone directory. So we should probably go around and check her again, just give a measure up. They measured up, and she's now the tallest woman, adult woman in the world. And why I say it's big for Turkey, because they've also got the tallest man. So they've got, it's a dual record. Has that ever happened before? They've got both. They've got both record holders. The tallest bloke in the world's over 8 foot. So there you go. There's a story to finish this morning. Tall people. You can have your say here on 1170 SEN 1300 01 1170. Expecting a lot of love for Norm Proven this morning. Let's pay tribute to him. Any recollections you have, any meetings you may have had with a great man, but of course any subject to do with sport, you can come on the program. And on this Friday morning, we'd all love to back a winner this weekend. So your tips in sport and in racing, more than welcome. Text them through 0457 736 736. Ramping it up on a Friday morning at 21 after 6. I'll tell you just a personal recollection of Norm Proven too. And you know, I've been in the media many years now, but when you come in, you're just a kid. You know, you know no one. No one knows you. But I've got to say, blokes like Norm Proven and Arthur Summons, they still shook your hand. You know, I'm Andrew Voss, you know, reporter, radio, 2UE, all these. The respect they showed you was fantastic, you know, and they just loved the fact that you wanted to talk to them. You know, Neville Nobody wanted to talk to them, the legends. That's one memory I have of the respect they showed when they, did they need to? No, but they did. They were gentlemen as well. Some memories. Phil the Dragon says, my memories of Norm was the imposing figure of a giant of a man leading the Saints down the steps of the members of the match of the day at the SCG. He was so good. He was retrospectively awarded 3 Man of the Match awards during his 10 premierships. Thank you, Phil the Dragon, for that message. Don here. Andrew, I was lucky enough to meet Norm Proven a few times over the years at Dragons functions. He was an imposing man with a steely glint in his eye, but at the same time was charming and polite. It was interesting to watch his teammates from his era, who were legends in their own right, pay deference to him. The best measure of any man is the respect that he is accorded by his peers. Vale Norm Proven, Don from Carlton. Lovely text. Thank you, Don. And the Greenkeeping Rooster, this one, morning, Vossie. Norm Proven played long before I was brought onto this planet. But as I grew up, I was made aware by my father of the greats of the game, and he often mentioned Norm, a guy who captained, coached a team to 4 comps in a row, is nothing short of remarkable and will never be done again. Too true. Absolutely. Thank you for those messages to open the day. Very good note as we pay tribute to Norm Proven, who passed away yesterday on the program. We will have Michelle Bishop coming on after the 6:30 news with her first sports update of the day for Kennards Hire. Michelle also covered the passing of Norm Proven on 7 News last night. We'll touch on those rugby league signing rumours going around. I mean, it's more than just a rumour. Josh Hodgson is basically just working out the paperwork. Just the same as we were told Jamal Fogarty, oh, no, won't go ahead. No, they were just working behind the scenes, got it done, and he's now off to the Raiders for 3 years. So they've got their 7 sorted. They've got their fullback sorted. They've got their 5'8". They've got Jack Whiten. It looks like Tom Starling's going to be the starting hooker. So Josh Hodgson is surplus to their needs. And the Tigers ready to welcome him with open arms if they can work out a price. So plenty to get through this morning. David Middleton, my historian guest on the program after 7 o'clock this morning. James Magnusson, the missile, will be on the program after 8 o'clock. Also a Canterbury fan. James did great things on our Olympic coverage during the year on SEN. But most of all, want your calls. The McDonald Jones open line, open now. 1300 01 1170. Give us a call. And you'll be back at 7 o'clock with the news for Kia. Thank you, Adam, for that. Dazza of Dungog been in touch. Now, this is different. And Norm Proven liked the laugh as well, but Norm had the electrical store there for a while. What's your best? He said he's got half a rugby league team of famous players, great players, who owned shops, retail outlets. He's got on the list Norm Proven, Peter Wynn, Gary Jack, Father John Coutts was there. He's got Kevin Junie and John Peard. Yeah, so there's six. There's the makings of a good side. Anyone else want to add to that? Rugby league players that have had shops, be it sports stores or whatever? That's not a bad list to start. Thank you. The big D from Dungog. Well done. Jay the Bookman is here with a joke of the day. We didn't get to it before 6.30, so let's kick off Friday. He's been in exceptional form. I mean, on this form, he'd run a chance of winning the Everest. Jay, what's your joke of the day on this Friday?
I've spent the last few days doing nothing else, totally glued to my computer, Googling and reading, trying to learn everything I can about escapology. I need to get out more.
Thanks, Jay. Good start to the day. Have a great weekend, my friend. We look forward to more of the same come Monday morning. Most interesting character. By the way, Jay is also found at the Dimmicks at Rouse Hill, so pay him a visit. The store is back open. He's got all the books, there. And Christmas is not that far away. Did I see somewhere, is Christmas 70 days? Is it less than 70? My goodness. We've come out of lockdown. Now we're going to do Christmas shopping. Now, let's go to Michelle Bishop as we take the Ken Oath for Ken Oath Hire.
On Breakfast with Vossie, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
Are you ready, Michelle?
I sure am. Pumped.
All right. Can you say I, Michelle Bishop?
I, Michelle Bishop.
Take the Ken Oath.
Take the Ken Oath.
Ken Oath.
Ken Oath.
Ken Oath.
I'm not going to say it again, Bossy.
Okay, yes, that's pretty much
I've taken it.
Kennard Tire makes your job easy. Call your local branch today. They get very busy around a Friday. You want to get there early if you want something to hire over the weekend. They give you the best advice, the best equipment. So great to have Kennard's on board with your 6.30 sports update. You covered Norm Proven's passing on 7 News last night and spoke to a range of people.
Oh, I did. What a special day it was for me. I'll kick it off by saying when I got off air yesterday, I got a phone call from my 11-year-old son in the phone. It just kept ringing and ringing. I'm thinking, gee, you must want me. He said, Mum, have you heard the news? I said, what's up? And he said, the man in the trophy died, the big tall one. Reason why I'm talking about this morning is the fact that he's 11 years of age and Norm Proven has just touched so many people, so many generations. He's an absolute superstar of his era. As you talked about before, the 256 games for the Dragons, played all those premierships. He was just an absolute dominant figure in the game. And yesterday I had the privilege of catching up with Carol Raper, the wife of the legendary Johnny Raper, Johnny Riley and his wonderful wife. We sat around for quite some time. Steve Edge dropped in as well. Just reminiscing, going over, what a wonderful man he was. Carol talked about him being their captain, not just the captain on the field, but the captain of all the wives as well. A beautiful, humble man who was very much loved. Johnny Riley, I could have sat with him for hours, as I say. I'll just briefly go through a story with you. He said he told us one day that Norm turned up at the SCG to play in one of those very famous grand finals, and he didn't have his pass with him. The man at the gate said, well, sorry, you won't be coming in. He said, well, sorry, sir, but there won't be a grand final. The point of the matter was that Riley's like, here's Norm Proven. He's, 8 foot. one of the most recognisable figures in rugby league, and he wasn't going to be, you know, let in the game. Now, the other story I wanted to share with you guys today was Steve Edge. He gave me two very special ones. Almost jumping on the spot physically, Vossi, going through these yarns. He talked about being a 10-year-old and waiting on the sideline at Jubilee Oval to get this giant man's autograph. And the fact that Norm would stand around for ages, like hours, making sure that every single kid that lined up there managed to not walk away without getting his autograph, which I thought was just so special. And now this is a really funny one. Many, many years ago, when Edgy was quite young, so Steve Edge needed a fridge. We all know that Norm had the electrical store. So he didn't have sort of the guts and didn't want to annoy Norm by ringing up and asking, saying, you know, I need to know about a fridge. What do I buy? So he called the store and he said to the guy that answered the phone, look, I'm just really keen to buy a fridge. I know Norm quite well, but I don't want to annoy him. He's a busy man. I have no idea what to buy. So 15 minutes later, the guy on the other end of the phone's gone through everything possible about a fridge and what fridge that he should be purchasing. And just before Edgy hung up, he said, and by the way, it's Norm, and you didn't annoy me. Just such a lovely man.
There's a bit, look, and you're talking about great tears, a bit of Mick Cronin in that tale too. I mean, yeah, Mick Cronin's pulling the beers. When we say drop in and give a visit to the Gerringong Hotel, there's Mick. Mick's still pulling the beers. They're cut of a different cloth. Your anecdote about the trophy is so true. I wonder, and again, it's another one to throw out to our listeners who follow all sport, is there a more iconic trophy? Is there more a trophy which is a greater symbol of the sport where it is awarded? I mean, because that is such a gladiatorial image, but it's respect, it's mateship. Is there another trophy like it in world sport? I mean, anywhere on the planet that has a trophy that is such a symbol of the sport that it represents. 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. Getting lots of nominations, Michelle, too. Lots of people recalling famous rugby league players owning retail stores. One listener says Clive Churchill owned a bottle shop at one stage of his post-football life. So I'll put Clive Churchill down. I said I remember John Sattler. He had disposal stores up in Queensland Army, disposal stores and those sorts of things. Put down John Sattler. Now, also, NRL player movement. The Josh Hodgson one's a big one. I think the Tigers fans would get excited if they snare
him. Oh, if I was a Tigers fan, I'd be excited. Absolutely. He's still got a current year, that 1 year left to run on his deal at the Raiders, but Ricky Stewart and Michael Maguire, they're obviously in talks to make that transfer happen. I think it is a bit of a win-win. Both clubs generally interested in making it happen. I think I read somewhere that Ricky Stewart and Hodgson have a strong bond. I'm not convinced that that's actually the case, to be honest. But look, the thing that will draw this out, I think, is that whole standoff of who wants to put in what money. And this is one of the criticisms. We talked about the changes at the West Tigers that Tim Sheens will bring. This is one of those criticisms, that to make decisions, make things happen instead of going through 7 million committees. But, we'll probably see this happen. Tom Starling will have to step up for the Green Machine. And, look, they're looking pretty good for next year with, Jamal Fogarty on that three-year deal. There's still very strong rumours around that Adam Elliott will land there. And, obviously, with the West Tigers, they've got Jackson Hastings, Oliver Gildart, and they've just signed Tyrone Peachy. So, a bit of a win-win looking up for both clubs, really.
We're not going to have a quiet week this off-season. There's going to be signing news every week, if not every day. Now, just one last one. Just on the Everest, we have not a wardrobe malfunction, but we do have controversy in regards to fashion.
Oh, we tackle all the big issues here. And speaking of trophies, that Everest trophy is pretty, you know, well-known right around the world now. It's only relatively new in its infancy, but it's worth a lot of money, a lot of diamonds to a lot of women. fashion-wise. They pretty much will go hand in hand. Most race days, there's a colour or a theme associated with whatever the particular race is. But tomorrow, the Everest, cut-out dresses, they have been banned. They do not want any kind of dresses where the fabric is cut out, exposing too much skin. You will not be allowed in. There's been a few complaints, but the ACT director, Angela Bell McSweeney, who I must say knows a thing or two about fashion. She's always very beautifully dressed and, you know, into all the magazines and all that sort of stuff. She said, no, they're standing firm on this one. It's a tradition and you will be turned away. And that's despite the fact that it is the biggest fashion at the moment on all the catwalks in Milan, New York, London. Now for the men, this is a big one. Mm. No shoes without socks. Oh, now, Corey wow. Brown, champion jockey Corey Brown, he loves this look. I've discussed this look with him at length for a long time, thinking, how do you wear shoes with no socks? But he loves it, but it's banned. So don't but turn
what,
up tomorrow.
What's the definition? What if they got no the little socks? Inners there? I mean, does that qualify, the little inner inside the shoe? Like just well, a,
I
just
suppose
a
if you can
of...
see something.
That's interesting. That's the big story. I was unaware of that. I'll throw that out there to our listeners too. Shoes without socks, thoughts? Is that
Can't
your
do
go?
It. Don't like it.
1300 01 1170. What does it say about a person? The shoes with no socks look and the pants, you know, rolled up just halfway down the shin. 0457 736 736. Fashion, not really my field of expertise, I must say.
Oh, Michelle, nor mine.
Very, 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 very interesting. Sorry, look, by the way, just on the women's wear, of course, now I'm right in saying was not the first time the miniskirt was seen in Australia, was on a race course, was it not? Was it? I'm trying to think, it might have been a Melbourne Cup carnival. The miniskirt
made
an appearance.
The miniskirt's fine.
But that was
you
years
can still
and years
wear a miniskirt.
At the time, the miniskirt wasn't. I'm saying right. it was through the racing fold that it got its first glimpse. Anyway, you've taken the Ken oath, Michelle, and you're all the better for it. So well done.
Feeling great. Talk soon.
At 7:30, it will be. Lock it in. Ken Oath Tyre makes your job easy. Talk to someone who has taken the Ken Oath today. So there you go. You've got a whole range of more sporting talkback topics now, thanks to Michelle. Players who had retail stores, most iconic trophies, trophies that represent the sport that they are awarded in. So, you know, the rugby league players are there. And the trophy, can you come up with some examples of that? And shoes with no socks also on the list. It is 17 and a half minutes to 7.